Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Kamanu. Over the next few minutes, the Word of God will be taught with simplicity, power, and a sense of humor. For over two decades, Dr. Kamanu's teachings have gone throughout the world with tremendous reports coming from people whose lives have been radically impacted. Get your Bible, take notes, and allow the Holy Spirit to touch you through the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Kamanu.
I want you to turn your Bibles, everybody, to Genesis chapter 1. We've got a good study. I believe that God wants us to glean things from His holy writ. He wants us to learn things. And so for those who are listening to this audio transmission, those who are viewing this, wherever you may be, I believe God has a good word for us, has a practical word for us. Not really an illustrated sermon, but I believe we can learn a whole lot from God's word. We'll go through different scriptures, but we want to begin as our springboard in Genesis chapter 1, looking at verse number 28. If you're there, say amen. God blessed them, talking about man and woman, and God said unto them, now check this out, I want you to really see this right here. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I want to bless those who are viewing us and those who are just listening to this message. God, I understand your words are true and righteous altogether. I understand, Lord, that from the 66 books you've given us in the Bible, we can go to any book and still glean a powerful word from you. Help us at this hour. Give us revelation, give us understanding, give us knowledge so that, Lord, when we leave at the close of everything, we know we have spent time with you and the Holy Spirit, our great mentor and teacher, has indeed brought revelation into our spirit. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name, sir. Amen. Amen.
Feel is ripe unto harvest.
when you look at the scripture verses in the beginning, your Genesis, God really wants to establish you. So if you're going to take notes, write this down. God establishes us for a reason. Why would God establish us? It is for a reason. God wants us to see things from His vantage point, from His perspective. When we fly, and we do that a whole lot, as you folks know, the land looks totally different once we are airborne. As we push back from the gate and we taxi out to the runway, wherever it is, once we go aloft, once we're flying, you watch things on the earth get smaller and smaller and smaller. And seemingly the land gets broader and broader and broader, and you see things. It almost looks like a puzzle from the air when you're flying at 37,000 feet and you look down. Everything seems to fit right in. It's beautiful because you have a different perspective. If you were at ground zero looking at it, it looks like tall trees. It looks like cornfields. It looks like wheat. It looks like buildings. But when you're in the air, you see things differently. When we come to the Word of God, when we understand the kingdom of God, when we're learning about the gospel, we need to have the perspective of God and not our perspective. I think what we do is we fail. In fact, I believe this. We fail to understand what God has for us because we often take it from our vantage point, from our understanding. You know, in construction, if you want to in construction, you want to be a heavy equipment operator, you have to go through classes. You have to go through schooling. You have to be an apprentice before you become a journeyman. You know, there are stages that you have to go through. And such is the case in the kingdom of God. Nobody starts out as an apostle. Nobody starts out as a prophet. Though today you might hear testimonies to the contrary, but I'm going to tell you, God doesn't change. God doesn't change His ways. It's when man try to change God's ways that man gets messed up. So we're going to look at the gospel, we're going to look at the kingdom of God, we're going to see how we can put it all together, and we're going to understand why we can triumph and why we shouldn't have to falter. Now, I'm going to ask you a few questions. Based upon the scripture that we read, Genesis 1:28, question number one, does God want us to be fruitful? Okay, everybody unanimously said yes. All right, you got one correct. All right. Number two, next question. Does God expect big things from us? Well, that's a unanimous again. He sure does. Now, here's the third question. Listen to the third question now, as you've listened to the two previous. Does God bless people because they are fruitful? Oh, we have disagreeing answers here. I'll say the question again. Does God, it's not a trick question, does God bless people because they are fruitful? The answer is uh-uh. Let's go back over here and look at the scripture verse. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful. What are we saying here? God has a sequence. Write this down. God has a sequence. You better understand that God's sequence is everything. Go back to the scripture verse. If you're going to write this down, God blessed Adam and Eve and then told them to be fruitful. See, we're looking at fruitfulness as a blessing of God, not really. Mm-mm-mm. See, the blessing came first for Adam and Eve. The blessing came first. Another thing, the affirmation of their worth did not rest upon their fruitfulness. Now you hear people say, I don't know. You know, they have a low self-esteem. I don't know if I can. I think it's too difficult. I think I'm going to struggle with it. Well, look what God told them here in verse 28. God blessed them before anything else. God blessed them. How many of you realize that you too are blessed? Amen. You don't act like it. I don't hear testimonies in line with that. So the affirmation of their worth did not rest upon their fruitfulness. Here's something else for you to consider. Instead, their fruitfulness depended upon them knowing their self-worth. See, when you know who you are, you know what you can do. I talked to a friend recently, and I hadn't spoken to him in some time. He says, how are you doing? Fine. I said, how are you doing? Fine. We're just talking. And I said, so what you been up to since we haven't seen each other? He says, oh, I'm getting my pilot's license. I said, you ain't getting your pilot's license. He says, yeah, I'm only a few hours away from obtaining my pilot's license. What? I never knew you wanted to be a pilot. He says, yeah, I thought about it one day. Well, I'd like to go and be a pilot. So I started going to pilot class and school and begin to learn these things. He said, in fact, I just did my physical and I passed it. You know, I would have never thought this guy could be a pilot or would like to be a pilot. But he found out his self-worth. He said, I can do it. See, that's what you need to find out. You need to know that you can do it. Hence, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. And this is why we need to understand this. Listen. Grab this. He's talking about Adam and Eve. The knowledge of their blessedness fueled their capacity to subdue the earth. The knowledge that they were blessed gave them the ability to what? Subdue the earth. See, we wait. Well, when God ministers to me, okay, then I guess I can go out and do it. You're blessed in the beginning. In fact, in Deuteronomy, Moses says, you're blessed in the city, you're blessed in the field, you're blessed. And you're going in, and when you sit down, when you lie down, you're blessed. How come Christians don't pick up on this, guys? Why is it we always see Christians poor mouthing as if God just was so busy and never blessed them? Incidentally, I have a lot of Christians who normally will ask me to lay my hands on them and what? Bless them. How can I bless what God has blessed already? Numbers 23, the prophet of God says, hey, behold, I have received commandment. Let's go there. Numbers 23. I told you we'll go down the scriptures. Numbers 23, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. What? Numbers. All right. Now we're going to look at some scripture verses here. Listen over here. It says, verse number 20. It says, behold, the prophet says, I have received commandment to what? Bless. To bless. Why? Who's the he? For he hath blessed, he is God. God has blessed, and what? I cannot, talk to me. Reverse it. I cannot reverse it. I'm blessed. I don't care what you say, I'm blessed. I don't care what anybody who cuss me out say, I'm still blessed. Amen. I don't care what name they call me, and they call me a lot of names. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I live like I'm blessed. You cocky. I'm not cocky. I know I'm blessed. Amen. Now, for years, I told people, yeah, how are you feeling? I'm B-L-E-S-S-E-D. Mm-hmm. Well, what does that mean? I'm blessed. Amen. Well, you never say it like that. When you just say, I'm okay. Because I'm not okay. I'm blessed. There's a big difference from being okay and being blessed. I don't necessarily have to have a dollar in my pocket to say I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Amen. People sneeze. Well, you tell them, God bless you. Why should God bless you because you sneeze? You should tell them, get a Kleenex. That's what you should say. Get a napkin. Cover your mouth. Cover your nose. Read that verse again. Numbers what? Oh, man. 23. Okay, read it. Okay, and it says over here what? Behold, I have received commandment to bless. You see, listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. I have received commandment to bless. I don't curse people. I, Paul Kamanu, have received commandment from God to bless. Even if the people do me wrong, I will not curse them per se. I will curse the works of darkness. Please get that, saints. He says, what else? What is? For God has blessed. I like that. For God has blessed. And what? There's not a human being who can reverse the blessings of God upon your life. The only one who can do it is you. If you fall away from the works of God and the wills of God and the plans of God and the purpose of God for your life, you will fall. And you're not going to see the blessings of God come to fruition in your life. John chapter 3 verse 17 says this. Jesus said, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn or curse the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's John 3:17. We've given you all the scriptures. We should shut down and go home already. That's a good foundation right there. Hallelujah. Shoot, you can go out and build a good house now. Yep, that's right. You don't need the good housekeeping seal. You got God's approval. See, what we do is we make a big mistake of always, saints, always listening to men. We buy the latest book that's on a bestseller list. You know, we stay up at night and we record these things that come out, show us how we can get wealth fast, how we can overnight, how we can do these things, and how we can, you know, all the different things according to man's standards. But how about we go to the Bible and just and see what God does? I've never seen God grow a flower overnight. Even when animals are birthed, they take time to mature. Amen. And we want this thing. We want to do it quickly. If it doesn't work fast, that means God's not in it. That's not true. No. As great as our God is, he gives seasons to the world. The 22nd verse of the 8th chapter of Genesis tells us that. Let's go there. We're going to have to do it because there's a lot of people watching and listening. They don't believe and they don't have a Bible, so they don't know what we're talking about. They are clueless. Why do you call them clueless? Because they are. Wow. You have to say that. What did I tell you? Why am I in chapter 22? Well, Genesis 8. See, good thing we turned in here for me too. Last verse. I told you it was last verse though. I got them. Verse 22, Genesis chapter 8, it says, while the earth remaineth, Al Gore, while the earth remaineth, there shall be seed time and harvest, cold and heat. Listen, Al Gore, cold and heat. The earth is global warming. Yeah, God's getting it ready to burn it pretty soon. Summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. There's nothing humans can do to stop this from happening. Right. Not a single thing. George W. or his father or anybody else. Not the next president to come. Hitler couldn't stop it. Caesars couldn't stop it. Who else? Alexander the Great couldn't stop it. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't stop it. Saddam couldn't stop it. Putin over in Russia can't stop it. The guy up in North Korea can't stop it. Nobody can stop it. God says as long as the earth... while the earth remaineth, you better count this. There's going to be seed time and it's going to be harvest. You're going to plant, you're going to take care, and you're going to reap a harvest. Amen. And then he says, it's going to be cold and heat. A guy told me recently, he says, I would rather live in the cold than in the heat. He says, at least when it's cold, you can put on extra clothes. He says, if it gets so hot, I ain't taking everything off. Well, that's a very good logic right there. You know, the Bible says over here, though, summer and winter... and what? Day and night shall not cease. Now, you might go up to Alaska and the northern parts of the world where you're going to have a few hours of daylight. But the word of God is still true. Why? Because God doesn't lie. Everybody say, God doesn't lie. Well, somebody said, well, tell me what the message of Christianity is. Well, write this down. Most people imagine the message of Christianity runs something like this. Wait, write this down. Now, I'm going to give you some examples here. I'm going to give you at least five. Okay, you hear people, right? Love God, the ministry, and the family. Okay, let's get this thing right. Oh, watch this. Number one, you talk to the average Christian, they say, this is how it goes. Number one, write this down, love the Lord. Oh, I gotta love the Lord. I gotta love the Lord. Number two, I have to do good. I have to do good. I have to do good. What, anything else? Yeah. Number three, you have to give generously. Oh, you got to give generously. But number four, you got to live right. That's it. So what you got to do? Love the Lord, do good, give generously, live right. Number five, you got to serve God. Watch. You got to serve God and the Lord will really love and bless you. Yeah. Go from church to church. Yep, you're right, brother. But that's not the gospel, everybody. Because the gospel includes these things. Remember I mentioned this word? The sequence is different. Here's how it really goes. Ready? Okay, the next note, ready? Write this down. Number one, God really loves you and he has already blessed you. Amen. Therefore, number two, love the Lord. Number three, do good. Number four, give generously. Number five, live right. And the last one, what? Serve God. So we got it. But we have to understand from the beginning, first, God really loves me and he has blessed me. So all these guys are different. What were you fasting for? What were you seeking God for? Pray for me right now. Brothers and sisters, pray for me. My prayer request right now is that God will bless me. You're already blessed. You need to go figure out how God blessed you. He told Adam, Genesis 1, I bless you. Adam didn't have to worry about growing a fruit. Adam didn't have to squeeze to have a fig manifest. He didn't have to do those things. God told Adam, he says, bro, I blessed you already, man. I bless you already. I'll show you something else. Go to Matthew chapter 3. Are you getting something out of this? Oh, boy, I was having fun when I was studying this. Oh, no. Oh, cannot be. Cannot be. You mean, no. You see, you have to do all these things. Get them in line. Then God will bless you. Oh, and then God, he'll pour out all his blessings upon you. After you've done the five or six things. No, that's not what the word of the Lord said in Genesis 1:28. Look at the 17th verse of Matthew chapter 3. It's the last verse. Watch what it says here. Watch this. And lo, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hey. This is at the baptism of Jesus. He didn't lay a hand on anybody yet. He never healed the sick or raised the dead. God says, I'm well pleased in him already. He's blessed. You might want to write this one down, this point over here. You don't need to try harder. Huh? You don't need to try harder. Here's the second point to that. You are already loved. Or maybe if I help super run the church, then God's going to love me more. Oh, you know, God appreciates you helping tighten up the church. But there's nothing you can do to be more loved. You are already loved. You kind of gain God's love. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. The world lives drunk in stupor. God loved it. John 3:16. God loved us even though we were enemies to God. You didn't get that. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Yeah. Here's the gospel. Are you ready? Write this down. I learned this from a pastor named Pastor Wright, Wright. This is what he said, and I got a kick out of this one. If we apply this to our life, our life will change. Now watch this. The gospel is like this. Write that down. The gospel is like this, colon. Put a colon there. Now watch. God has a checkbook. Listen to me. He's written you a check. Okay, God has a checkbook. He has money in a checking account. God don't write bounce checks now. Come on, somebody. Now listen to this. God has written you a check. The check is yours, free and clear. Write that down. The check God writes to you, it's in your name. It's yours, free and clear. So what does this mean? Well, we're talking about the gospel. You must accept three things. You must accept, endorse, and deposit this check in order to make use of it. Amen. Man, somebody give me $30,000 and I walk around and testify to everybody. I got a $30,000 check. Ain't going to do me no good. I can carry, please, leave it in my shirt, throw it to the wash, the thing y'all shriveled up. I used to have a $30,000 check. Ain't going to do me no good. Until I deposit a $1 million check, amen? Amen? See, we're looking for the $1 million baby, right? We're looking for one in a million, right? Here, God, he endorsed, signed God the Father. He wrote it out to you before you were born. He dated the check. And nobody can say the check is no good. The check is good. That's the kingdom message. That's the gospel. Everybody in the kingdom is blessed. Amen. We're looking for a co-signer. Who's going to co-sign for us? God has blessed us already. Man, if you don't know you're blessed, you're out of order. You are completely out of order. I'm going to show you how God can bless you. You want to see how God can really bless you? What? Okay, let's look then. See how God can bless you. Watch this. 1 Chronicles 29. God said, I want to bless you. People say, I want abundant blessings. Well, God doesn't give unabundant blessings. And no such word as unabundant, but you know what I'm saying? God doesn't have lack. You know, I had a check one time, pretty good sum, and I went to the bank that issued the check. I endorsed it. I showed my ID. Guess what the teller told me? Well, we don't have enough funds to cash this. I'm like, what do you mean? This is your guy's check. But sir, in this bank, we don't have that kind of funds. Oh, that made me think. Because that's one of the two largest banks in Hawaii. What do you mean you don't have that kind of funds? She said, can I give you some and give you another check? I don't want another check. I want the money. But you know what? God, he cashes you out. I like that about God. Huh? He cashes you out. You try to go man's way. They say to you, well, you know, we'll accept your check. But any large amount, we want a cashier's check. What are they telling you? They don't trust your account. They don't trust your account. They do not trust your account. They like your good looks. They like your smile. They even love your voice. But they don't trust your account. They said, no, we need to have a cashier or certified check. Which is going to cost you $8 if you go to the bank and do it. Why are they charging you? Because this is a real deal right here. Yeah, people say, oh, this is a cashier check. This is just like money. This is just like money. Let me tell you what. You can say, just like money. And you put it in your savings, your house, under the mattress. You put it there. Put it in a coffee can. Put it somewhere, hide them in a cookie jar. What happens? Technically, you say you have the money. You don't have it. Until you cash that, you got to endorse it. What? First you got to do, you got to accept it. You got to endorse. And you got to deposit. You know what? Well, I have direct deposit. You missed the whole concept. You missed the whole. And I'm not going to go back to the opening scripture. You missed the whole thing. I should just close it and go home. It's not talking about direct deposit. Goodness gracious. Yeah. Look at chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles. David says over here, I'm going to give God an offering. Remember I preached this before I told you how much it was worth? I don't have that notes now, but it was worth plenty, believe me. 3,000 talents of gold. Gold right now that according to the people who set the standards on the worth of gold, do you know, I'm going to take my glasses off for this point because I want you to see my eyes. Do you know that men set the standard on how much gold is worth? Do you know they're in England and the Rothschild family tell you how much gold is worth? Well, who the blankety blank do they think they are telling us how much gold is worth? The whole world listens to the Rothschild family. And they say, well, we determined today gold is worth $647.28 an ounce. Well, who the blankety blank blank say they can tell us what gold is worth? Gold has not changed from when God first put it in planet Earth up to this certain time. But these guys who figure, well, I can, you see, because some nations used to back their currency up with gold. In America, our currency was backed up with gold. Till they established that Federal Reserve, which is as federal as Federal Express, which is a private company. So the Federal Reserve, the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 said, now we control the monies of this nation. So they say, we want all the people, 1933, it's in the history book, New York Times, you can see there, go get it, you can research this for yourself. We had a president who was a crook, and the president says, we are recalling, they had what's called a bank holiday, that was a long weekend. Watch long weekends, Americans. So they had a long weekend, and all of a sudden they call back, and it was issued from the White House. We want everybody to bring their gold to the bank. When the government tell you to turn in something of worth, don't turn it in. They say, we will give you a receipt. We'll give you a receipt telling you we will hold your gold for you. Do you know when the World Trade Center towers went down, the Federal Reserve Bank, which had their vault at the bottom, they had over $300 million of gold bars there? Do you know why they quickly went to clear the debris? Or debris, if you pronounce the S. Do you know why? It wasn't to find bodies down there. And we have people sworn testimony saying, we were down there and they were told by all the feds, get the blankety blank out of here. But we're here to rescue people. No, you're not. Get out. They had to get the gold. Now, Bruce Willis, years ago, just to tell you if I'm in line or what, Bruce Willis did a movie where these guys knocked out the Federal Reserve in the World Trade Center and drove their trucks. You guys remember this? Some of you must have seen it. They drove the trucks to this water course. They were underground driving and truckloads of gold bars. Now, that happened way before 9-1-1. But 9-1-1 quickly showed there was a lot of money. In fact, there's this DVD you can watch called Loose Change. It'll tell you they had more than loose change there. People say, well, why would that happen? Because, well, and Mr. Nixon, not to be outdone when he was president, he removed the last vestige of gold that backed up our money system. And now it's basically worthless paper. It's IOUs. You know, if you have gold, remember when they had the gold rush? They call it the 49ers. They went to the 49th state, the gold rush, right? They went there and they found all the gold and they were, oh yeah, overnight they became rich. But somebody there says, wait a minute, the gold in your hand, not going to do you no good. Don't you really want money? Yes. Okay, we determine the weight of gold. That's why the Bible says God despises those who change the measures. God says, you have an unequal, what? Measuring system. Your balance, you know, that you use to weigh, it's imbalanced. Okay, you go down here to whatever place you put fuel in your car. How do you know you're getting what you're paying for? There's a regulatory commission here that makes sure what you pay for, you get. You're doing this by faith. You just look at it. You give them $20. You can put gas. And it tells you how much you put. You're like, oh, okay. How do you know you got that? They could have rigged the machine for all you know. Yeah. It's like a lot of slot machines that's rigged. So anyhow, why am I sharing all this with you? Anyhow, so you look. How do you know you're getting a gallon of milk for what they're charging you? Did you measure that to be a gallon? It looks like a gallon. How do you know it's a gallon? How do you know it's a pound of butter that you're buying? Did you weigh it? When's the last time you weighed it? You look at the word, it says, you know, 16 OZ. Well, did you wear it? One time we had a sale here, you know, fundraiser, and one of the guys who was watching says, oh, you don't have, we had all the scales. Everybody was putting it was a Kalua pig sale. And we're putting the Kalua pig in, and we scaled it. He says, oh, you don't have to do that. Just estimate. I said, we're selling this per pound. He said, well, just, you know, look at it. I said, no, no. See, that's why God says he don't trust guys like you. Because you can, if you pay $6 a pound, I can't give you 14 ounces. Mm-hmm. See, some people say, well, it's only 2 ounces. 2 ounces means you don't have a pound. Even guys who deal drugs, if you buy an ounce, they don't want less than an ounce. Talk to me now, somebody. You know, you're going to buy if you're going to buy a bag of poi and they tell you it's 1 pound, you know, the 1 pound bag poi don't even look like a pound anymore. You look at that and, you know, you're trying to be nice to the people they're charging you. You know what? This thing doesn't look like, can you put this on a scale? And if it's not a pound, you know, I'm going to tell you, brother, we just a middleman. Yeah, but you got no problems up charging us more price for that, what you bought it from. How do you know you're getting what's worth? Say, I'm giving you all this. You better go figure out when. I have a dozen eggs. Fine. You can count the eggs. How many slices of bread do you have in a 1 pound loaf? They might tell you it's a pound. You say, oh, it don't look like a pound. How much jelly or jam do you really have in that? How much peanut butter do you really have? Did you weigh it? See, we go and we spend all this money in stores believing them, and they're unbelievers. And they're in it for the money. You got a holy God that he has a hard time convincing people. Believe me. Just believe me. God will never crook us. Maybe I should stick with that point. God will never shortchange us. Amen. I mean, it doesn't matter where you go. Why is it the American dollar is worth more than the Fijian dollar? And what makes our dollar made out of paper like the pa'anga in Tonga is, just because theirs is more crinkled doesn't mean it's worth less. Well, they, you know why? No, please tell me. Who set the standard? Who tells us the yuan is worth more than the pesos? Who says a tala is worth more than the cedi? Who said? People who control weights and measures. Well, I bought a quart of mayonnaise. Did you really measure it? Things are all automated, so you can trust our automatic machine. It was made by a man. You know, when you go on the scale, you lie. You accuse the scale of lying, right? You're a stupid scale. You're a stupid scale. Let's look at something here, right? Try the scale away. The thing broke. It's like the mirror. Mirror on the wall. Oh, you don't have to say that, cause the mirror can only show you what it sees. Yeah. Oh, mirror cannot see, but you do. See, I'm trying to get you to see something. The title of this message is, cash the check. Cash the check. God gave you a check. No borrow from us. Cash the check. Cash the check. Cash the check. He said you are blessed. Cash the check. What do you have to do? Accept it. Endorse it. Deposit it. Cash the check. Lord, if you're not too busy, can you visit us, Lord? We really need a blessing, Lord. And the Lord says, I blessed you already. Amen. And I'm not giving you somebody else's blessing. Because they're not born yet. You know what I mean? That means God blesses your house. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, that jailer over in Philippi said to Paul and Silas, hey guys, can I ask you a question? I know it's late at night, but what must I do to be saved? And they said to him, you know, we've been singing this whole time. Didn't you know? You have to go to catechism. You have to make sure. He didn't say that, did he? He says you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, for the Catholic people who go to catechism. When I went to school, my friends could get out of school early for going to catechism. So I asked my mom one day, Ma, why don't we become Catholics? So I can get out of school early, but I like to go catechism with them. Right? When in Kahuku, the Mormon kids, they go to a chapel in the morning. And you know what? The Mormon church is smart. They make the chapel before school starts. So there's really no break there. But I used to envy my Catholic friends. I think it was Wednesdays. Whatever, they had catechism. They would leave school early, and nobody would stop them. But I said, well, how come these guys can go? I was in elementary school. I said, wait a minute. How can these guys go out of school? Oh, it's their church. What do you mean it's their church? Oh, they go to catechism. I never knew what catechism was. I use the word a lot. You know, it could be tortured for all I know. I don't know what catechism was. But all I knew, when they said catechism, they could leave the class early and no come back. I said, man, Ma, I think we need to become Catholic, Ma. Why? I can go catechism. My friend and them all go catechism. Well, you cannot go catechism. Why? What is catechism? Never mind, you just cannot go catechism. Well, I like to go catechism. I'm a little boy. I'm thinking, wow, that's a good church. They take you out of school early. Sorry, guys. I'll let you go to school the whole day. Wow, think about this. I want to share this with you. Cash the check. You know how blessed you are? You are so blessed. God makes you a blessing. And you know who God generally tells you bless? The ones who love Jesus, but they don't know that they're blessed. And God put them on your heart and said, yeah, right, give them some money. Go write them a check. Do something for them. And then they're like, oh, you didn't have to. So, okay, give them back to me then. Trying to be humble. You didn't have to. Give them an amateur right now. Tell him up right in front of this, okay? And Lord, let me bless you, but you said didn't answer, right? Okay. Lord, I did my part. They didn't want to accept it. Didn't want to endorse it. Didn't want to deposit it. I'm blessed. You're blessed. Stop saying you're waiting for your blessings to come. You know, when Job said, I'm waiting for my change to come, he never meant, I'm waiting for my blessing to come. He said, no, I'm waiting. My change is coming. This pot's going to dry up one day. Yeah, I'm not going to always have pus. For those of you who didn't know, Job broke out with boils. And he had pus oozing from his body. And he didn't look nice. And his friends was accusing him of many things. But he says, I'm going to wait till my change come. You know why? Job knew pus don't always ooze. Even pus ends. Write that down. Right. Even pus ends. Right. If you get a boil, it's not going to stay with you forever. Come on, somebody. You got to understand that. Man, I want to make this thing simple so we can understand. We're blessed. Wait. What's the matter, brother? What's the matter, sister? Oh, just believe in God for a breakthrough. Breakthrough don't mean blessing. Cannot, because God said you blessed already. Now, breakthrough can tell you that, well, you're going through something right now that you want to go beyond. I can understand that. But God's blessed us already. He's already blessed us to go beyond, saints, if we be technical about the whole thing. I don't want to be technical. Well, you have to be technical if you're a believer. Because God doesn't use technicalities, but God wants you to be technical. What was it again? The sequence. We're not talking about material to make a gown. Sequence. God wants you. As my Tongan friend would say, God wants you, my friend. God wants you. God wants you to believe him. Take him at his word. He never say you're going to be blessed seasonally. You blessed. Let me tell you this about Adam and Eve. There was not a day they went hungry. Not a single sunny day. They never went to sleep with hunger pains. Never. N-E-V-A-H. Never. We live, especially in Hawaii, we live in a generation that boldly tell you on their car and t-shirts, I don't care. That's dumb. Because if you did care, you'll understand that God has a plan for you. I don't care. And then they go, no bother me. Fine. We're not giving them one check. We go to the next one. And thank God there's a smart ones who came out with their own bumper sticker and t-shirt that says, I care. See, God cares for us. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. God's a giver. The devil's a taker. Only thing he can give you is sickness and hard time. God says, I want to bless you. Let's say Kiko on his team. Right? He's excelling, doing good. The coach watch him. Hey, he's doing really good. Coach leave him in. And then he puts everything on his shoulders. That's unfair to him. Right. Now the team might say, well, Kiko, you're the man, bro. You're the man. We believe you. But you didn't show up, bro. We're not going to win. Let's say he hurts his foot. And he cannot play. The whole team depressed now, sitting down. Can't even start. And the coach over there, okay, guys, you ready? We're going to go there. Boys, what's the matter? Kiko ain't not going to play. Yeah, but you guys can play. But the best is not going to be in there. You know what? He might be the best, but we're still a team, right? No, because he's not playing. You know, that's sad. That's sad. Yeah. You know, because right there, if Kekor cannot play, he'll be on the sideline saying, yeah, you can. You can play. Get out there and play. Yeah. Why? Because he's a team player.
Right.
Yeah. He's not an all-star. He's a team player. Big difference. Big difference between an all-star and a team player. Dallas Cowboys used to be called America's team. You know why? They had the same owner from the beginning of the franchise. America's team. And literally, America liked the Cowboys. They were like lily white, squeaky clean. Everybody liked the Cowboys. All of a sudden, Tex Ram, who owned the Cowboys, sold it. The new owner, Mr. Jones, now had his own philosophy. They only had one coach, and his coach was Tom Landry. And I mean, the Dallas Cowboys went to the Super Bowl. They were good. I mean, Roger Staubach was their quarterback. I mean, these guys, he's Mr. Clean. You never read about them getting arrested. You never read about them. All of a sudden, they got a new coach with a new philosophy, who hired all kinds of coaches. One coach he hired said to his wife, "You know what? I love you. I love you too, babe. Yeah, but I guess I got hired by the Cowboys. Yeah, so we need to file a divorce. Because I'm going to spend more time with the Cowboys than I will with you." And he divorced his wife. Okay? Now watch. He goes. He had a good season. I don't know if he won a Super Bowl. I can't remember right now. But the bottom line was, he didn't last there long. Got the next coach. Next coach was arrested going through the machine over there at the airport with a gun. All of a sudden, the Cowboys was having all kinds of problems. But because America changed, it was still America's team. Their players were getting arrested. Their players were overdosing. Their players were going through all kinds of stuff. And he said, "What happened to the Dallas Cowboys? They acted more like the Oakland Raiders." Because the Oakland Raiders, they had the stigma of being the bad boys of the league. They always took the rejects from the other team. Troublemakers, those who were too old. The owner said, "You too old, man. We can't use you no more." Al Davis, from the owner of the Raiders, from the beginning, he says, "Oh, no, I can use you. Come over here. Come over here, Stork. I can use you. Will you give me my same number I had on the other?" "Oh, yeah, Stork, I'll give you the same number." He comes over here now to the Raiders. He ends up winning in the Super Bowl. Ted Hendricks was his name, the Stork. And he goes and he wins. They're like, "Oh, how do you do that?" Then all the players from the Raiders, Jim Plunkett, he was the quarterback, the Indian man. He was the quarterback of the New England Patriots. Well, he said he's washed up. They got rid of him. The Raiders picked him up. He leads the Raiders on to beat the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. Everybody's like, "Wow, the guy, his helmet is too squeezing his head, but he could throw far." And the Raiders built a reputation of taking all the washed up, all the retreads, and making them winners. But then other teams look at the Raiders' image. See, ain't no other team had silver and black. Right there, when the Raiders would show up in their black, everybody said, "Well, they look like pirates." Ooh, everybody would boo. And the Raiders love to be booed. See, they played the image. They came in as bad boys. I mean, they would lay guys out. The Raiders always, they got more penalties than any other team. Raiders didn't care. I mean, most teams would bring NFL referees doing their spring break or doing their summer practice. Raiders, Adam, they still would be hit. At the end of the year, statistic, leading the NFL in penalties, the Raiders. Full pilot, 15 yards piling on, 15 yards, illegal use of the hand. 15, the Raiders had notorious. They would get more yards in penalty than the opposing team would have in rushing and passing. Because they built up that image with the bad boys. Raiders could play in the Super Bowl. The reason I tell you this is because I'm a Raider fan, right? The Raiders could play in the Super Bowl against Philadelphia Eagles. They set a curfew. You cannot, the coach says, you cannot leave the hotel after 10. The paparazzi is taking pictures of the Raiders. 2 o'clock in the morning, they're on Bourbon Street drinking. They said, "It's the, you got, hey, aren't you afraid you're going to be fined? For what? Didn't you have a curfew?" "Oh, yeah, I'll be at practice." And you know what? They'd be at practice the next day. Hangover, but they'd be at practice. Barfing on the sideline, but they'd be at practice. And the coach says, "Didn't I tell you not to go out?" "Yep." "You went out?" "Yep." "I'm going to fine you. Fine with me." And the next night, they do it again. They got that image. But if you look at the NFL today, it's almost equal. Almost every team get bad boys now. Why? They thought it looked good. But you know what? The sad thing about it, and even I said for the Raiders, young kids was looking at that. Now you see the same attitudes in Pop Warner, in Pee Wee, in JV, in varsity football. You know you see it in college. Miami Hurricanes, they're known as the bad boys of the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference. Why? Because they're always fighting. They want that bad image. You know, the church has also picked up that too, that persona. We got to stop it. God wants us to come back and be what he intended us to be. What's that? He said we're blessed. So David, he gave all this money, according to First Chronicles 29. 3,000 talents of gold, 7,000 talents of silver. Goodness gracious. We're talking buco, plenty, plenty of money. Where did he get it? God let him go out there and whoop up on all the enemies and says, take what you want to take. Because God knew David's heart, that God would see David giving it back to him. See, God blesses us, saints, and we're bringing this to a close when we finish. God blesses us, and then he looks at us and he wants to see what we're going to do. So before he blesses you, he already measured you out. And in spite of your nasty attitude, guess what? You're still blessed. You're still blessed. When I consider how blessed I am, I used to listen to people sing the song, "How Dry I Am." But when I consider how blessed I am, I wonder, I have this thought. I wonder if people see me as being blessed. I wonder if people actually see that I'm a blessed individual. And so I didn't want to always tell people I'm B-L-E-S-S-E-D, though I am. I wonder if they could see it without my saying it. Right. And you know, one guy came to me one day, he says, "Can I tell you something?" I said, "Sure." He says, "You're blessed." I said, "Oh, why would you say I'm blessed?" He says, "With what God has called you to do, you do it effortlessly. I don't see you up there stuttering. Even if they call you last moment, you got something to share. If they tell you to take the offering, you got no problem. If they tell you to do the opening prayer, you got no problem. Read the opening scripture, you got no problem. Pray for the sick, you got no problem." He says, "You're blessed." He said, "I know the average preacher, you tell him, 'Oh, can you go up there?'" He said, "Oh, not right now." He says, "Why is that?" I said, "Because I've discovered a secret. God told me I'm blessed. See, I know my self-worth." People say, "Well, my self-esteem, when I need in, I need inner healing." You're blessed. You're blessed. I don't care how they said you're ugly. You're blessed. Remember the story of the ugly duckling? That bird just didn't realize it was in the wrong family. Wasn't it actually a swan? Am I in the same book? Or am I talking about the five Chinese brothers who drank all the water? I read that in Mr. Echo's library at Ola School. Anyhow, if you get to the right family, then you're going to fit in. "I'm an ugly duckling." All right. Chicken up breed. All right. What are you saying? You are not in that right family. Get to where you belong. What do you mean? If you are around the saints, you know you're blessed. Why? Because all the rest of the saints are blessed. But if you're around those who are not blessed, you're going to feel like the ugly duckling. You're like, "Well, I don't fit in on me. Something's wrong with me. Everybody else look the same. I look different. I must have a different father." Cash the check. Cash the check. You got to cash the check? What if you don't cash the check? Do you know checks are only good for so long? One guy gave me a check. He used to be in our church. He's gone now. He wrote me a check for $999,000. He told me, and a credit union check at that. And he told me, "Don't cash it yet. It's been over 10 years. Checks are only good for so long. After 1 year, I think it's 1 year, it's no good." But do you know God's check has no expiration date? God's blessing, his check for you, is for the entirety of your life. You really cannot tap out his bank account. Think about what I'm telling you. God says you are so blessed. What are you doing here, Elijah?
Only me serving you. The other preachers backslide. Jezebel wanted to kill me.
So, what are you doing here? That's my question. I didn't ask you anything else.
Kill me.
I didn't ask you that. What are you doing here? His answer should have been to receive instructions. Write that down. First Kings 19. "What doest thou here, Elijah?" The angel told me eat because I had a far place to go. So I'm here now to get instructions. But we're over here. "Brother, how come you over here?" "I don't know. I'm trying to go and find where God wants me to be."
You know, you cannot play tic-tac-toe with God. God don't want you over here and then go down to the middle place and go to Hollywood Squares, go to the next place, and you don't do that with God. You got to know where you are assigned. You know, they have a program called Makeover, Total Makeover, yeah, for the house. It's amazing what they can do in a few hours. They can take a house that's so ugly, termite eating everything, and they can turn it right around in a short time. Well, God's faster when he can do your life. But I don't feel, you know what? And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes you're not going to even feel like you're blessed in any witness. You don't even feel, I'll be real with you on this one. Not that I've been lying on any other, but you don't even feel safe sometimes. But you got to remind yourself you are. Because this is not based on feelings. So a lot of people say, well, I'm going to cash the check then. We went to Pango Pango several times. First of the month, hold up, post office. They only have one post office on that island. There's only one post office in American Samoa. And in Pango Pango, that's it. Everybody who gets a check floods the post office. I mean, they flood the post office. They're not parking in a parking lot. They go by metro and park. They park across the street. They triple park on a double park side. They do whatever they need to do. Why? Because they're going to get their check. And do you know a lot of them, when they get their check, they go straight to the Bank of Hawaii that's there. Or Bank of Samoa, whatever. You know, a bank from New Zealand, whatever bank they have. They go straight there. What do? They accept it. They endorse it. Sometimes they don't deposit it. They just cash it out. But you know it's going to be sad one day when they find out that the American government has no more money in the U.S. Treasury, and that check is going to bounce. We are nearing that time in America where we, Americans' bank account is going to bottom out. And when it bottoms out, who will your source be if you've only been looking to the government? I can tell you, I've always looked up to the hill from whence coming my help, Psalm 121. My help comes from the Lord. He made the heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. Behold, he that keepeth me will not slumber. He that keepeth Israel will shall neither slumber or sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is the shade upon my right hand. The sun shall not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve me from all evil. He shall preserve my soul. The Lord shall preserve my going out and my coming in from this time forward and even forevermore. See, that's how I know I'm B-L-E-S-S-E-D. So I challenge you, my dear brothers and sisters, to cash the check. Cash the check. Don't come over here and say, praise the Lord, saying, look, I got a check. Don't do that before you lose it. Go cash the check. How many of you believe that you got a check from God? Okay. Go cash them. Go cash the check. Don't put it in a frame up on a wall. You don't need to do that. Cash the thing. They're going to say to you, how did you get that? God. When did he give that to you? Oh, yeah, he gave this to me. I got to tell you, before the foundation of the world, he already gave it to me. You know the check got three signatures on it, huh? You know that check got three signatures on it, right? The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, right? Nobody has to check their ID. Father, we thank you right now. We ask that you'd help us, Lord, that we can present the gospel in a very simplistic way. And I pray people understand what I'm trying to convey. I honor you and I praise you in Jesus' name.